This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. Hello. My name is Ben Karpinski, and you're on the Gareth Cliff Show.
Yes,
and
you are.
C is so happy to see me. He is beaming. His face is a buzz with smiles.
He's got the giggles this morning already.
Yeah, sorry, that wasn't me. That was the aux cable. It just went a bit funny on the play thing. Yeah.
Ben, I have to be honest. I did miss you.
Aww,
and Sia, I said this to you when you walked in this
you
morning.
You did. Like straight-faced, with composure, and real sort of sincerity. You said, but Ben, I missed you.
But I also genuinely asked if you still remember where the studio is.
Yeah, it's I haven't been here for a long time. I do apologize if you have been missing the sport. I am sorry.
That's a microphone in front of your face?
Yeah. No, see, it does feel weird. I woke up this morning, and waking up early isn't exactly the hardest thing because I've been doing it here at Cliff Central for 5 years. Happy 5th birthday.
Yay!
Yeah, I was here for the second month, and I'm sorry I wasn't here last week to celebrate the momentous occasion. Good morning, Leanne Moll.
Hi.
Just
having a little vodka, you know, start of the day.
No longer parched, Moll.
Oh, how was Ghana?
Yeah, okay, well, let's start with that, because obviously you guys didn't do much for the birthday, seeing as both you don't want to talk about it.
Oh,
no, we
I
celebrated
see.
It.
No, we did.
Well, let's hear it. Yeah, we I wasn't here. I can get to me later.
Ben, you have to download the podcast.
Even Mama and Papa Cliff were here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, Gareth hates it when they come in, though.
Oh, I love it.
So obviously you invited them, Sia.
I haven't seen
Gareth
them.
Gareth was like, oh, what the bloody hell are you guys doing here?
I haven't seen them in 10 years.
Yeah, we actually had a nice brunch, a team brunch on the Friday. Yeah, so it was a nice group of us, everyone here. We had some mimosas, we had some cake, and was a nice celebration.
That's very nice.
Yes.
Very nice. Yeah, because I thought if I haven't been here for 2 weeks, I thought I'd tie Gareth up for a bit, and then I'd share my experiences, and then I'd bring him in when I'm done talking about me.
Yes.
Yeah, Leanne, yes. Ghana was, it was incredible. Like most African, well, I was in Accra, right? So like most African cities, a bit of a shithole. I mean, there's not really great infrastructure. It's not the cleanest place. It's on the coast, but the beach is filthy. It's like it's a bit grotty, but one of the coolest places I've ever been to. The people were incredible. Right from our clients we're working with to the prostitutes trying to solicit us at night. It was such an amazing place. Everyone just had a really cool vibe about it.
Oh, the prostitutes nice and kind.
Well, they were. Let's get to that. Yeah, okay. So start.
Yes, let's get with that.
Let's start with the prostitutes. So we were staying in a nice sort of 4-star hotel right on the beach, and it was one of those hotels that literally had its prime in the '80s, and they haven't really done it up since then.
Oh my gosh!
But it's right on the beach, so I mean, it could be the Club Med of Accra if they really put their back into it. And so you go through the day there. The staff's really nice, and it's a functioning hotel. And then after dark, because we were kind of, so the first day we were there, we literally arrived, and then it was like midnight. So we had a couple of beers outside, and they were kind of exotic looking, I was just going to go with local ladies just sitting around.
Ooh.
Exotic looking local ladies, right?
But you always know there's something up when there's a fat English man who's talking to them, because you just know sex worker. Because why else would anybody who's attractive and local be talking to a fat Englishman?
Now, is that like the pimp, or is that a prospective customer?
He's just the John.
Oh.
Yeah, so we didn't think anything of it because, you know, we were there first night. There was me, my business partner, and then our two production guys.
Mm-hmm.
So the guys who were putting together this really cool content we're creating, which I'll tell you about when it comes out. So then we went to bed. Next day, we had a whole day of location scouting and casting for these spots. And then we got back at night. And again, it was like walking through the garden, and this woman says, "Hi, can we chat?" So I was like thinking, like, "What is this, Amway Ghana? No, I don't want to chat with you.
What are you trying to sell me?
Jehovah's Witnesses?"
No, and then it's like, you know, you guys look like you need a massage. I was like, "Well, the spa really does work all hours, doesn't it?" No, that's cool. We're going out, and then the more you kind of looked into it, you sort of tied in with those really unattractive old men who are on obviously business trips.
Mm.
So for them, it's a bonus because they didn't have to be like beating the streets in order to find ladies of the night because they're kind of there. Win. And then,
oh my God.
And then on the last night,
they're poor wives.
On the last night, I don't think many of them have wives anymore. They're at that stage now where they're either the second wife or they've just disillusioned with marriage.
Oh,
yeah. But on the second night, they came a lot more forceful and they were actually, you know, sharing breasts by the pool.
Oh, goodness me.
There was followings into men's toilets with other proposals.
Oh, gross.
Look, I was in bed by the stage. I'm not into any of these shenanigans.
Okay.
But yeah, so the rest of my crew was proposed upon.
Oh, my word.
By local prostitutes. But even though the vibe was still great, work-wise, really cool. We literally went all over Accra. We went to some really interesting places. We went to a whole bunch of bars. We met some incredible people. So, like, in our ads, we had, like, the Idris Elba of Ghana.
Ooh.
This guy, he was such a cool dude, but he, like, such a great actor. So we had a lot of other people doing different things, and they weren't that good at acting because they weren't actors. And then the last thing was this dude, John. He was amazing. He's got, like, 2.7 million followers on Instagram. He's, like, a real big deal.
Does he look Idris Elba-esque?
Yes. Yes, mannerisms, but just the real pro.
What's his surname?
Because
I'm not going to stalk him on Instagram right now, of course.
So yeah, I'll have to go into Instagram and find him. It just slips my mind at the moment.
Okay.
But yeah, Accra was really cool. We went to this one club, which was such an eye-opener. It was called Dreamland. Shout out Dreamland. It's we're kind of driving. So we asked this taxi guy, our driver, who was just hanging around with the prostitutes in the hotel. And we asked him to take us somewhere vibey to go watch the Champions League match because my business partner is a Liverpool fan. So he took us to some place and there was zero vibe. It was just like a couple of guys, nothing really going on there. And then on the way back, we saw this place that was just overflowing onto the road called Dreamland. So we go in there, and it looks like the ruins of what used to be a garden store at some stage. There's no roof anywhere. It's like got this sort of like faux Roman kind of sculptures, but they've also kind of just broken down.
And so it's out in under the skies.
Under the skies, on like the coast, but it's on the main road, but it's away from the beach because they hate the beach there. Like beachfront property this just doesn't exist where we were.
Yeah.
Like there's open patches of land where there's beach. You think develop that first, but clearly not. I don't know, tsunamis or whatever, although they don't exist there. And we entered this place and it was rough, but it was late and obviously rolling the dice at that stage. And then there was this pool. But like, think of a big pool, right? And then think of not seeing any water because there's just people in it and they are dancing.
What?
They are probably boning and they were very much splashing any kind of water and everyone's twerking. It was like being in one of these very strange West African music videos. And everyone was twerking and it was just a
twerking
sight.
Twerking in a pool with no water.
No, there was water in the pool, but you couldn't really see because there were just so many people.
Oh.
So now, and we're sitting there and obviously like we are the only sort of the other guys left. So like my business partner and I were the only two white guys there. Okay?
Yeah.
So everyone's kind of staring at us, obviously because we look so out. It's like, where do these guys come from?
Yeah.
And then the usual scenario, people are so friendly and hospitable. Like three people within the first 5 minutes came out to us and says, have you got drinks? Have you got girls? So like, okay, we would like drinks, but it's okay on the girls. And then this guy who, remember KB from Fire FM?
Yes.
It was him, basically. He looked just like him. Everything about him was just... Because I haven't seen KB in so long. I think he's living in Accra. And he's prostituting girls.
So you're pretty certain you were chatting to him.
At this stage, I was calling him KB and he wasn't saying anything untoward.
Were there any sort of like...
Actually, it was different though.
Serious-looking gangster types that you were a bit scared of?
No, that's the weird thing, Leanne. It's like everyone there is quite big, burly, a very good-looking bunch of people that gone ends. Really are. Like they won on the genetics. They really did. But like this bouncer who was like 6'6", and he was the first guy to offer us girls, and he kind of ushered us in. So there was this huge line outside, and we just kind of like want to see what this place is about. So the guy's like, give us 30 cedis, which is like 90 rand, and then you go. And it was just amazing. So now the people would look like just crowding us, just sitting staring at us. And then this guy then starts kind of like trying to whore off this young girl. And then his other plan was like this older woman, who then just started twerking.
Plan B.
Well, it was kind of like a two-prong attack. So the older girl was like twerking her heart out in front of us, now wanting us to go dance. Then KB is now trying to sell us the younger girl. And then eventually he's like, we finished our drinks. And then he said, come, we must go somewhere else even better than this. So now we go, okay, cool. And he's like, cool, get in my car. So I said, whoa.
We'll take a cab.
Very insistent on waking up with my own body organs tomorrow.
Yes.
Because he was the only shady guy in Accra, this KB dude. Only shady guy. And he was the one who was trying to make the most play of where we go, what we do. So yeah, we went home. back to the warmth and the hospitableness of the prostitutes in our hotel.
Oh, my word.
Your Amway prostitutes.
Just our Amway prostitutes just hanging. So, yeah, I would insist that if you do have a business trip to Ghana, yeah, give it a go. It's an interesting city. It's a bit run down in places. A lot of unfinished buildings, which is kind of weird. But, yeah, the vibe is just great. I ate goat. I ate guinea fowl. We went to, like, Accra's version of Moyo. So fun. There was, okay, like, this woman of this, like,
fowl.
There was, like, a table of 20 women there who were, because obviously Wednesday was a holiday for them as well, so, like, a workers' day thing.
All right.
And they were having some sort of get-together lunch. And, again, like, there was a guy who was just singing Paul Simon covers from an electric piano. But it was cool. And, yeah, the local beers were pretty good. I went through all of those.
Hear Paul Simon.
And there was other strange drink that they have there in Quartz, which is, it's made for, it's like spirit based, but with, like, it says African botanicals. It just tastes like someone mixed beer, Jägermeister, lemonade.
Oh my word!
And
what was the price of drinks?
It's much as towards here, I think. Very similarly priced. The food is also kind of on a par in the fancier places and the cheaper places. It was very affordable. But yeah, we ate the goats. You can get goat anywhere, but guinea fowl is a big thing. There was even like guinea fowl shops. As in, like, places that specialized in serving guinea fowl in all forms. And then on the last day of the shoot, we still think someone actually served us dick. Because it looked like bull tongue.
Oh, no.
Well, look, we were laughing about it, but it was just a very strange consistency. And it was...
Please tell what you think dick tastes like.
It was rubbery, sir. may have been intestine, but it, one of the two. Take your pick. Dealer's choice on that one, which one it was.
Actually feeling gaggy.
And obviously there's a lot of things. You eat a lot of jalofe rice.
Mm-hmm.
They can't make omelets for shit. Coffee was pretty much substandard, but otherwise I can't fault the place. Up there with like top five places I've been to. So interesting.
Wow.
And yeah, it's cool. It's just like Africa is a fascinating place. There are so many places you do not want to go to because they are just horrid. There's obviously the more Islamic kind of ruled places, which are just rough, obviously. And then you get absolute gems. And that's just the beautiful thing about this continent. It is so huge. There's so many diverse cultures, mm-hmm. interesting people. And there's things happening here. Again, like, you don't see beggars. It's not like really bugging you or just predating upon you. People have got shit to do there.
Mm.
They don't have a lot, but they pretty much love what they've got. They're very proud, patriotic people. And it was just cool. It was cool being there.
It's a developing country that really is developing.
Yeah.
It's on the app.
But they do hate their beaches. But like the first morning we woke up, there was this it's like fishing scene. That's all I can really call it. And there's this huge rope on the one side and the rope on the other side. It looks like they're playing tug of war with the ocean, which okay. in itself is an optimistic thing to do. But what happens is a boat takes a big net out in the middle and the ropes go out either side. And then everyone just tries to pull this thing in. But when I say everyone, you've got these old gogos in their 70s who are pulling. Whoa. There's like young guys pulling. There's like these big dudes pulling. And they all have these calloused hands. So like we try pull for a couple of minutes. And our girly hands, of course, that only work on laptops. No chance. Guys are then laughing at us. But yeah, it's cool. The place works. It was fun. Yeah, it's pretty much
nice.
Ghana in a nutshell, really.
When did you come back?
Friday evening.
Okay.
So it's, I think it's a 6-hour flight. They're 2 hours behind us. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What an experience.
Good, sure. I don't know. But I haven't, yeah, obviously the week before I was away as well. So, yeah, you tell me what I've missed. I mean, obviously we haven't talked about The Bachelor. That show is just, it's grinding to a halt of nothingness though, huh?
Oh, no. We are building up to this Thursday, the finale. I am ready for it.
As you know, I'm going double the quits with Gareth. So if Gina wins, I owe him $200. If Jazan wins, I owe him nothing. But can we just, what is Lee's game? He had a hotel room with either of them. And he said, no, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Is he into boys? See, I'm going to level up.
I don't think he would have.
See, I'm going to level up at you.
I don't think
because I've been gently in for so much.
I don't think he would ever have done the show if he was gay.
Okay.
Who in their right minds would have?
Okay, Leanne. Stranger things have happened in the world. But
why would I?
Leanne, what next? Are you going to tell me gay guys don't marry women?
Oh,
why do they?
Gosh, you know.
It's what year is it? You know,
happy birthday for yesterday.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't think he is.
Well, I don't know. Like I've heard a lot of rumors,
but
which you should never take seriously. Obviously,
right?
But that's always the first rumor to come out of something with a guy. Always.
Yeah, also right. Well, that's why you don't pay too much credence towards rumors. But I just think that the show has become so boring. Is he not even going to try anything?
Well, what I was actually saying last week is I found last week's episode the most real out of all of them.
You reckon?
Yeah. It was
such a filler. It was like, well, meet these people who are sort of my parents because, you know, hashtag broken family, which has been the big thread throughout the whole story. That's why he's looking for love, because he wants to have his own family. I get that. That's a cool part. The only real part. And then it's just the same old, like, okay, well, let's just kiss and then not really do anything because this game show is really grinding to a halt.
I did also add that I just want to hear from his mother at this point.
Yeah.
Because as I said last week as
we heard from the uncle. Yeah. Uncle, not real uncle.
It's like, yeah.
We heard that the mother's done a lot for him and his siblings.
See.
But then it's fallen away and then recently. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not looking for cheap soft porn here or anything. I'm just looking for real, like,
action.
The guy's at Mauritius. There's drinks. He's been with these chicks for like weeks.
Yeah, certainly not saucy. It's not something that you could get off watching.
I mean, look, he's already been kissing all of them on the same day. I'm pretty sure that he can maybe, you know, spend a night and see where things go.
Maybe this week might be different, because I was chatting to Jason yesterday and he said to me, we shot the final Women Tell All episode yesterday, so they shot it on Saturday. And then he says, and there's some drama. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, because all I think most of those women actually don't care about him or ever had any connection with him, because it was so in and out.
And now they're not going to mince their words.
Sure.
Mm. Well, I will tell you, the Bachelor US, the original, has now begun on our television screens. We are very far behind. These two are already together.
Are we watching The Virgin Bachelor now?
Okay. Colton.
The Virgin Bachelor?
Colton, he's a virgin.
Bachelor, he's a virgin.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's a lot riding on this.
Yeah.
Well, nothing riding on him.
Riding on him.
There are so many virgin jokes that go on in this. I think we're on episode 2 now. But whoa, what a bunch of crazy chicks. They are messed up mentally.
Well, you know, they have the formula down now. But they know the right combination of crazy to the right combination of slightly loose.
Great point. Like, I think, to use a cricketing term, against the new ball, you're quite conservative and you just want to stay at the crease. That's what this first season of The Bachelor has been. What? No one's taken any risks. Everyone's just been kind of nice. And I think a few seasons in, we'll see a real show and people start doing real things.
Yeah, I think they wanted this one to be pretty stock standard.
And don't tell me fainting at the rose ceremony is a real thing. That was just someone saying, ugh, this is a bit boring. Please tell that woman to fall over there.
No, these American bachelorettes.
Well, nice to know, Leanne.
Are absolutely crazy. And, you know, that being said, on the first show, he eliminates all the boring girls, keeps the bachelor crazy ones and the nice ones. But there's also a virgin contestant in this one. She hasn't even kissed anyone yet.
Oh, okay. So she's Mormon.
Maybe. She doesn't say anything like that, mm-mm. But... Yeah, it's
kind of weird. The reason why I'm also not sold is because we still don't know what their definition of virgin might be. Colton has still never said what his state of virginity is.
It's not exactly a gray area, is it? You're either a virgin or you're not. No, but, and that's got to do with sexual intercourse.
You know, some people might define it as physical, you know, one part and another part, but oral sex might...
No, but then they'd be wrong. I mean, call me old-fashioned here, but...
No, I think it's...
But for other people, coitus, they define that. And so I didn't really judge then if he participated in like oral sex and then actual penetrative sex he hasn't done, then okay.
Well, I mean, at least disclose that in the beginning and don't leave us hanging around this.
And then I hate to be that person, but there are also some Christians who live their life some type of way. Then they find Jesus, and that's the whole term, being born again. So when you're born again, you're still all pure and whatnot. So what if Colton was just born?
So he's doing it the other way around.
Yeah. That's not biology. I mean,
no, he's doing it the other way around. He grew up in a very religious family, and that's why he started off not having sex, and then it kind of just happened that he still hadn't had it.
But I almost think that maybe should be a prerequisite for the show. You could only be the bachelor if you're a virgin. Really, like, make it awkward.
What?
because that'd be funny though. Make it easy, even funnier. See, the thing is, like, now obviously I'm just making huge assumptions around Lee, and I don't mean to sound like a prick in doing so, but this is reality TV. This is what you do. This is what audiences do. But he's a charming, good-looking guy who clearly has the ability in order to get sex on an ongoing basis. The Bachelor should be someone who's almost like a little bit quirky and weird, because then all of this is completely new for them, which then raises the stakes. I mean, everything entertainment is stake-based, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
the next Bachelor's got to be a virgin. Just saying, Mnet. There it is.
I wouldn't want to participate. Well, it would be interesting to watch, because, I will admit.
Because given, it's always a nice backstory, because why are you a virgin as an adult? Because nowadays, it's a very rare thing, right?
Mm.
So there's your first backstory element. Then you can go on the fact that he liked dogs, or his uncle was weird, or he's from Polokwane, or whatever. You know, then you can add the backstories, but make the backstory, I'm a virgin, because that's the big, everyone's like, why? Who? How? Who's the girl going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Because then you really want to know who the winner is.
Mm.
Yeah. So otherwise, fifth birthday, listen to the podcast. There was fun end games.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Leanne, how was your weekend?
It was pretty uneventful, really. Oh, my uncle's car was stolen on Friday.
Oh, no.
Literally, he parked outside the spa. And when I park there every day, that's where we park.
Spa in Craig Hall?
No, this is in Melville. It's actually on the border of Melville.
I mean, look, if you go anywhere in Melville, your car isn't stolen within 5 minutes. Or some piece of your
person. No, but this is what was strange, is that there are security guards. I don't know if I say that lightly, but there's...
Men in high visibility vests.
There were actually cops in the parking lot. The car was so close that you could see it from the tills. But anyway, it was stolen, and I went to go and fetch him and fetch some papers for him so he could go to the cops. And he said, I don't know how far they're going to get, because there was literally no petrol. He said, I was making a decision whether I go and put in petrol or whether I go to the spa first. And I went to the spa. And anyway, I was even driving around kind of keeping my eyes peeled for it. But anyway, the day went, and that was that. And Sunday came, and he got a phone call from a friend of his who had just driven past his car. It was parked near my house. We live in the same suburb. It was parked near my house. Run out of petrol.
Well, there's a prime prevention tip. Always run low.
Yeah, that's the thing. Crime prevention. Yeah, when times are tough and you're putting in 200 rand petrol at a time, it's not such a bad thing after all.
Drop it, make it 50.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was quite interesting. And it just made me revisit the whole crime issue in my head, playing it over, you know, seeing a car and thinking, I want that car, and so I just take it. I had to go to the same spa, and when I got there, the only parking that was available was the one that he was in when his car was stolen, and that was a bit strange, and felt a bit superstitious about it. There were cops in the parking lot, so that was weird, and I had to draw money, and the whole time I was looking over my shoulder. So yeah, I had to revisit that whole, you know, South African crime thing.
Not easy.
It's just horrible.
No, it is horrible. And
it's just being
everywhere.
Scared all the time and uneasy and wondering when you reverse out the driveway if your car's going to be taken or you're going to be shot, you know. So that wasn't so nice this weekend, really.
Yeah.
Well, that's a shame, Leanne. It really is. Sia?
Well, I hate to continue a bit of that tone, but I also had quite an intense weekend, for lack of a better term. My friend of mine lost a parent on Wednesday. Her father committed suicide, and was with the family over the weekend, and the memorial was on Saturday. And just the stories that came out of the suicide after that was quite shocking, and I really sympathize with the family. The father had been married to the mother. They had two children. A few years into their marriage, the father said, listen, I actually can't do this anymore. I'm gay. And it was very civil. By the way, Leanne, yes, these are the people who marry straight women.
Okay, you're the winners.
But understandably so, the mother was accommodating, I guess, and said, okay, let's have a divorce. But a few years after the divorce, the father then just completely abandoned the family, stopped talking to the children, refused to acknowledge that he ever had a life, before coming out. He remarried and married a man, but really struggled with a lot of issues mentally up until his demise, and he took his own life on Wednesday. And the reason why it became so shocking was, I think, in his, I'll call it new life in inverted commas, he also, you know, his new husband just carried that tone as well. Never acknowledged the kids and never acknowledged the ex-wife or any of his family beforehand. You know, he left a suicide note just thanking the husband for a wonderful life and these great memories, and this is what I want you to do with my ashes. And I just, my heart breaks for my friend and his brother, because you now feel like, did I even matter?
Exactly.
You know, like this person who was in my life. Questions.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, the husband even, you know, as per the suicide note, cremated his body. My friend didn't even get a chance to see her father for the last time before his body was cremated. And we sat at the memorial just feeling so awkward. I sat right next to my friend and her family with the husband's family on the other side. And they stood up and they were talking about him, and work colleagues stood up and spoke about him. And it just was a stab every single time someone stood up and said, you know, he was so great and he did this for us, and not one word about the family or the kids was mentioned. It was
horrid. How old absolutely are the kids? Horrid.
My friend is probably 23, 24, and her brother is probably early 20s as well, 21, 22.
Sure. Well, so it's hard to say what the worst ages for that kind of thing to happen, but I mean,
regardless
either way, it's a very difficult thing. And there will just be all these unanswered questions.
Yeah, it just sucks. But yeah, the thoughts that I left with was really, yeah, mental illness just sucks.
Yep.
It absolutely sucks. But also suicide leaves you with so many question marks that really make it hard for you to move on with your life.
Mm. Well, I think mental illness and just general societal struggles is as simple as that. You know, where the guy maybe felt he never had, he didn't know where his place was. He wasn't sure where he could be his base, him or whatever.
Yeah.
And then when you're pulling out of such responsibility, obviously a bit of guilt involved. I'm no psychoanalysis person kind of thing, but and there's a lot of things to really be difficult to overcome with that.
Yeah.
Sometimes there is only one out, the one solution.
Yeah, just seeing the, I could tell the internal struggle that my friends have. It's like, I love my father. Of course he means so much to me, but at the same time, there's this anger of, how dare you do this to me, and you leave me with nothing. And yeah, it's horrible. So,
well, yeah, at least they have friends like you.
Oh,
they're still that.
Okay, don't do
before
that.
We get into, what, really serious. Before we get into the five things you need to know, Michelle says, welcome back, Ben. Thank you, Michelle. Very nice message there. Sia, according to Marvin, there's a stat that you'll walk past an average of 16 murderers in your lifetime.
Folks, let's not.
The killers.
Let's not talk about the killers so early on a Monday morning, please.
Lubabala asks, Ben, does Ghana have white people? Not that we saw. We were pretty much it. Well, look, the only white people there are pretty much propping up the prostitute industry. Old white men. But, I mean, that's universal. You'll find them everywhere. What is the motorcycle scene in Ghana? Yeah, your usual kind of 125 delivery kind of thing. Not too many people on actual big bikes. Very nice cars, actually, though. You'll get some absolute dodgy cars, but then you'll just get like these really exotic American cars. You'll get like Range Rovers, get like a lot of nice Mercs, a lot of nice 4x4s. So there's a cross section. It's very interesting on the roads there, actually. Right, I think that is five things you need to know for today. Of course, it's a huge week because it's the election week.
The final countdown.
The final push where all these celebrities polish themselves up to be all nice, but as you know, you can't polish a turd, so don't fall for any of the crap you hear right now. Rather, fall for the things that Sia is about to bring you.
Let's get into the five things that you need to know this morning. First story, which is really breaking news from about an hour ago, 41 people on board a Russian Aeroflot passenger plane.
Oh, Aeroflot.
Aeroflot, yes, were killed on Sunday, Russian time, including two children, after the aircraft caught fire as it made a bumpy emergency landing at a Moscow airport. This is what Russian investigators have been saying.
There's actually a video, and it's quite horrific to see. So it's a small-ish plane. I mean, you know, it's not a big Boeing or anything like that. But yeah, this plane lands in a ball of flames. And I don't know how it even holds itself together. But it still holds itself together long enough for the emergency slide to come out. And you see people coming out there at a rate of knots.
Right.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's not easy to watch, exactly what you're saying, Leah. And the footage shows this plane bouncing along the tarmac at the airport before the rear part of the plane suddenly bursts into flames. Mm-hmm. Many passengers on board SU-1492 then escaped via the plane's emergency slides that inflated after the hard landing. The plane had been flying from Moscow to northern city in Russia, had been carrying 73 passengers and 5 crew members. This is what Russia's aviation watchdog says. In a statement, they said that only 37 out of the 78 people on board had survived, meaning 41 people had lost their lives. No official cause has been given for the disaster, while the investigative committee said it had opened an investigation and was looking into whether the pilots had breached air safety rules or not.
Mm.
Second story you need to know this morning, Johannesburg Mayor Herman Mashaba insists there is an immigration crisis. Oi, are you ready to hear this?
Yeah.
Johannesburg Executive Mayor Herman Mashaba said he remained convinced the city was facing a crisis of illegal immigration in its health services and housing during his State of the City address recently. Mashaba said that during his tenure in office, he had spoken to the national government to address the issue of the massive influx of undocumented foreigners who were putting enormous pressure on the resources meant for the city's resident without any success. His official statement was, after 2.5 years in government, I remain convinced now more than ever that our city faces a crisis of illegal immigration. In order to quantify the problem, 66 city-operated clinics in Johannesburg measured over the period of 2016 that over 32,000 undocumented foreigners received treatment at our clinics. And then he summarizes saying in 2018, this figure rose to 83,000, which translated into a 15-30% of all patients receiving medical treatment at our clinics are migrants. This is what Mashaba said during his third address, marked by disruptions by the opposition, which led to the ANC councillors walking out in protest.
Well, it kind of makes sense because, I mean, ultimately, Julius is pushing this whole no borders kind of thing. And whatever Julius talks about doesn't really have much substance or thought behind. There's only so many resources, right? And there's only so many people who can access those resources.
Right.
It's a no-brainer. If suddenly 10,000 other people from another country come to use already limited resources, what do we have? The situation right now that Herman is bringing up.
Mm.
Like, it's not rocket science. The guy's got a point. And there's only so much we can do. Not because we are anti Somalian or anti-Ugandan or anti-whoever. There's only so many resources for the people. Mm. And we don't have money to now create another 30 clinics or another 20 hospitals in a city.
Yeah. Third story that you need to know this morning as we count down to the elections, the Independent IEC has said it has received more than 70 complaints since it launched a pilot project to combat digital disinformation a month ago. In a statement, the IEC said on Sunday of the complaints received, 34 have been finalized and the remainder continued to be processed as they were received. It is also said that there has been no instances of deliberate disinformation found by the committee set up to assess complaints. Their statement is, a number of the complaints, while not disinformation, have related to the tone and content of messages by political parties and contestants, which have the ability to cause offense and or undue political tension and rivalry. In these cases, the IEC is addressing these complaints with the relevant political parties. Now, the commission said several complaints refer to news articles or opinion pieces on news media websites, and these were referred to the Press Council. However, they also released, it is important to note that journalists reporting on what politicians said is not disinformation. A free press, they define, is critical for free and fair elections and encourages accountability and keeps the electorate informed. So, I don't know.
I imagine that most of this stuff also happens on these community Facebook pages.
Yeah.
Because I see a lot of angry people, a lot of opinionated people, and a lot of racists, emerging on these community or suburb pages.
I mean, you've got to stop going to News 24.
Yeah. That too, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
fourth story you need to know this morning, as of two...
And that's just the journalists. Yes. Let's not even get into the rest of the people who are commenting.
As of 2 days ago, and it's unfortunate to bring this up, more than 1,000 people have now died of Ebola in the DRC.
It's back again, huh?
It just seems like these... You really can't go.
It's just way more powerful than us, and when those diseases see us, they just see meat. Fresh meat.
I learned so much about disease last week as well.
Ghana.
Yeah. Well, this guy I was there with, he's worked in 23 different African countries.
Yeah.
23.
Fascinating guy. He's like 31. Wow. What I learned about malaria alone. Anyway, sorry, get back to your story. We can talk about this some other time.
Well, if it's not the killer out to get you the disease.
It's Ebola.
But aid workers warned that the highly contagious virus, combined with insecurity in the receptive region, was creating a deeply worrying situation. The current outbreak is a second deadliest on record.
Let's just remember what Ebola does to you.
Please walk us down this path.
Big bag of
blood
and soup of organs.
You don't really bounce back from Ebola.
No, there isn't really a recovery plan. Ebola is a zero sum game. Ebola wins.
It starts, it gets worse, and then you die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has killed more than 11,300 people in West Africa alone from 2014 to 2016. Efforts to roll back the outbreak of this horrible, horrible escalated fever have been hampered by fighting, but also by resistance within communities to preventative measures, care facilities, and safe burial. Yikes. And then the last story that you need to know this morning, the remains of nearly 85,000 people murdered in Rwanda's genocide were laid to rest over the weekend on Saturday in quite a somber ceremony in Kigali. This is a quarter of a century after the slaughter. Mourners sobbed as 81 white coffins containing the remains of 84,437 victims of the 1994 mass killings were buried at the Nyanza Genocide Memorial in the capital. Now, they were among more than 800,000 people, mostly Tutsis, massacred over 100 days by Hutu extremists and forces determined to eradicate the Tutsi minority in Rwanda.
Yeah, you think about how scarring that has been, and it's more or less the same period, to try and put it into context, that we've had democracy for. And you think of how we still battle with issues of apartheid.
Well,
and can you imagine what these people are going, they're still going to suffer for so many years.
This is also a great example of why it is a good idea to not stoke tribal, racial, or ethnic tensions with a political purpose. And I do wish that there were political leaders in this country who would just look north, even if it's only for the moment of this memorial, to pay attention to what you should and shouldn't do in a situation where you can separate people or you can bring them together. Because separating them can often lead to consequences that will not be forgotten for 25 years. And millions of people dying unnecessarily just because you're trying to get politically ahead of someone else. And it's very easy to make people hate each other. It's very easy to find reasons that people are different and to stoke those up. And the Hutu-Tutsi thing in Rwanda is no different to if, for example, someone says something about Zulus, if they are Xhosa, or if someone says something about Afrikaners, if they're English, or if someone says something about whites because they're black, or blacks because they're white. These things can lead to very ugly, very nasty, very unnecessary consequences that will be a stain on humanity and will make everybody extremely embarrassed many years from the date that they're said.
Hmm. Yeah, spot on. If you don't know what we're talking about, watch a movie called Sometimes in April.
Yeah.
That will really kind of bring it home for you how dreadful this entire thing was.
Yikes. Yeah. Those are the five things you need to know this morning.
Alrighty, well, let's check in with Ben and see what's going on in the world of sport. We've missed this. People were complaining last week. They feel like they haven't got their diet of sport.
It wasn't the same, Ben.
I know, and I apologize, and I went away, and I've come back. Look at me. I've risen like the phoenix of sport. And I have so much for you on your mind.
Don't ever feel like you don't matter, Ben.
I don't. I know. People always send me such nice messages or tweets or whatever. So, let's get right into it. Sorry, I don't have the theme music. I'm sitting here theme musicless.
Oh.
You'll be all right.
But you don't need that because I've got the sport and the sport.
That's what really matters, Ben.
On Friday. Thank you, Leanne. It's always good to point that out to me. On Friday, Caster Semenya powered to victory in the 800 meters for women in Doha in the IAAF Diamond League, blah, 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 blah.
Can we just have a moment for Caster Semenya and what's been happening at the moment with the, would you call it a tribunal?
Yeah, the IAAF.
Let's just look at Caster's life for the last 10 years. She's been treated like she's a lab rat or a freak of nature or a science thingy. She has not been treated well. As somebody who's looking to do something positive and just do a sport, she's not looking to run for a political office. She's not looking to run drugs. She's not trafficking humans or anything like that. She does nothing wrong in this world, but she's been treated the way she has. And look at the grace and poise, maturity, and general excellence in her behavior. Okay?
All the way through. It's amazing.
All the way through. Mm. She's been unwavered in her demeanor. She just wants to go out there, be the best at what she does, and just run because that was her thing, right?
Yeah.
Simple as that. That, in a very, very nutshell, right there, means that Caster Semenya, in my mind, is probably one of the greatest sporting role models we can ever have. I will say she is a bigger role model than Tiger Woods. She's a bigger role model than Venus Williams. She's a bigger role model than, I don't know, maybe we should have a thing one day. Who's the biggest actual role model? I mean, people used to say
she's
Lance.
She's been through so much more than anyone else.
But exactly, Leanne. Many people used to say, oh, Lance Armstrong, what a role model. The guy had AIDS in his balls, cancer in his balls. Yeah, and now look at him. He's winning Tour de France and stuff.
AIDS of the ball.
And then we found out, no, he's not. He's a cheat. He's a son of a bitch and he's a cheat. Role models don't come around very often, right? And I also believe you shouldn't really make people who play sports role models. I love sport. I'll be the first to say, try stay clear of them. Do not marry them. Look at Oscar. But now there's also the other element of, well, science and truth. Caster Semenya has X and Y chromosomes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Leanne, I'm sure you're very smart. What does the Y chromosome generally mean in biology?
Female.
Here we go. Gareth
Cliff. Yeah, 50% chance.
Gareth Cliff on the science and biology experts.
XX female, XY male.
Oh,
okay,
that's right.
So the Y chromosome is a male chromosome, right? So now Caster Semenya has been equipped with internal, is it testes, Gareth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now when we go through
got
all
a
these,
pair of balls.
When we go through all these arguments and everyone's like, oh, Caster's hard done by and all that stuff. Yes, I think as I started this conversation, that's the reality. The other reality is the science of things right now. So people want to say, oh, but Michael Phelps didn't ever get lactic acid. That's why he could swim the fastest. Yes, that's called being a freak of nature right there. Caster Semenya's raised testosterone levels go back again to the biology of the X and Y chromosome. So this is something that everyone's forgetting with this whole story. I will support Caster. Like I said, I think she's probably the greatest role model because of what she's been through, what she's done. And it's not like she said, shit, I've seen my biological makeup. I'm going to be an athlete because I'm going to make a loophole. No, of course not.
No, it happened. It happened naturally.
She didn't ask for any of this. She didn't ask to be someone different. She just is who she is and she's done what she's done. So that we can't dispute. But now, unfortunately, and if you want to have an argument with people around this and you want to send death threats to Lindsay Sharp or whoever you want to hate, don't move away from the science of this, unfortunately. So, Caster says she's not going to take any of these hormones or drugs or whatever to make her testosterone levels come down. Good for her. She can stand by that with integrity and say, I'm not doing that. Why must I do that? Why must I harm myself? So, we're in a very difficult spot. Obviously, people are all for Caster. People have become very emotional about this, but there's also the science around it as well. So, rather consult someone like Dr. Ross Tucker on Twitter, who's gone through this at length. He's even been part of the whole appeal with Caster and the IAAF, and the legal teams. He's been part of that process. But again, start your argument on those base points before you get too carried away and you want to burn things or basically set fire to rational thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd like to say that is the coverage from my side on the whole Caster Semenya thing.
Very good, Ben.
But let's just obviously celebrate her for the amazing person she is first and foremost because I think she's done a hell of a lot for the country. And I, for one, I also feel robbed because I just want to be able to cheer for South African sports stars winning everything. Doesn't happen very often, does it?
Let's exactly. cling to the anyone.
You know what? I'll also plead ignorance and say, screw you, IAAF. But, I mean, guys, if you want to take this conversation seriously, please start with those facts right there. Paul Roos, talking about excellence. Paul Roos is a school in Stellenbosch and is the greatest rugby school in the entire world.
Oh.
Yes. Doesn't he Paul Roos?
Paul Roos. It's actually it's a relatively English school. Anyway, when I was growing up in the Cape, I went to Wynberg, and basically you go play rugby against these guys, and they would absolutely trouser you, six of the best. So they beat St. Peter's College from New Zealand 52-5 in the final of the Sanex World Youth Rugby Tournament.
Jeez.
So just think about this, right? The best rugby schools in the country. This isn't some co-ed school in New Zealand where a couple of guys throw a ball together. This is New Zealand's best rugby school. Proven over years. Their best rugby school. South Africa's Paul Roos beat them 52-5. When you lose 52-5, your dad makes you walk home in traditional terms. That's not even a contest. And this is the final, the best in the world. And you've got to think, like, what happens? This is another big conversation going on in sport now. Like, what happens from our schoolboy rugby to adult rugby? And we fall away completely. New Zealand coaches are dumbfounded by this because they look at this and go, shit, how are we ever going to compete against South Africa?
No.
Well, I tell you what, you'll get a mixture of things. Politics, we're in sport in every way, shape, or form in this country. And for a very rugby-specific problem in this country, you'll find that the big talent scouts, the big unions, what they do is they find the biggest kids and they put them through in the system. White, black, colored, Indian, gay, whatever. They'll take the biggest kids by default. Whereas if you see a team like Paul Roos, these kids have got talent, they've got skills, they've got everything they need to be a great rugby team. And so much talent is wasted between now and then. But what I will say is Paul Roos can actually enjoy this moment. Just think of that. The greatest schoolboy rugby team in the entire world. Not because you just ground out a 14-13 win with a kick and injury time. 52-5. They ran away with them, literally. They made them their bitches. You can say what you want. That was the final and end result there. Speaking of other big things result-wise, this last weekend in the Premier League in England, okay, so we all know Man City, Liverpool, that's your big game. That's your big game of the whole thing. Who's going to win? Now, Liverpool, they managed to beat Newcastle 3-2 after some guy dived. That's the bottom line, really.
That's the story?
That's the bottom line. Sure, yeah. Liverpool scored other goals, and they're a good team, have been good the whole season, but there was just some underhanded bollocks. And it happened right in front of one of those touch judge people. And he completely bought the bluff, and Liverpool went on to win 3-2 against Newcastle. So that means they're on top by 2 points. What it also means, though, is that they're still going to be behind, technically, Man City, if Man City beat Leicester tonight at 9 o'clock. But what it also means is that down to the final day shall go the tournament, the winner thing. Okay,
so the winner thing.
The decider. I know, look at me. I'm all giddy with like stats and things. But I tell you, we'll not go down to the final day. Is Man United and Arsenal's chances of making the top four. Obviously, you want to get the top four because then you play in the Champions League. But Arsenal, going full Arsenal again. All they had to do was beat Brighton and Hove Albion at home. All they had to do was that. Not hard, really. That team is struggling. They're struggling. Arsenal, lots of good players, not struggling. At home, must win. Nope, 1-1. Same with Man United. All they had to do was go to Huddersfield Town and beat them. Nope, 1-1. So those two teams are in 5th and 6th, respectively. Man United in 6th. And now that means that Chelsea, after beating Southampton. No, not Southampton. Who they beat? They beat Watford. They beat Watford 3-0. They rocket up to 3rd position here. And then Tottenham are in 4th. So that's pretty much how it's going to finish. You've got Liverpool and Man City contesting the title. Chelsea and Spurs. They wrap up top 4. Then Cardiff got relegated. And you've got to feel for Cardiff, really. Their manager said yesterday, we've got a lot to be proud of, but we're getting relegated. Sounds like a stupid phrase, but he's actually right, because they were struggling all year to get a goal scorer. They only hope they had a goal scorer, unfortunately died in an air crash. And they're still going to pay for that dude, and it's all that kind of drama. And from there, they never kicked on. They never managed to score the goals, and now they're going to the first division, which means a whole lot less money. Very sad indeed. Tonight, the Sundowns have a chance to get back on the top of the ABSA Premiership, which is obviously SA's version. Currently held by Pirates, they're in top spot, but Sundowns are playing tonight. And Stellenbosch FC, they'll be in the top flight next year. They finished top of the first division yesterday. All very, very important stuff. Rugby-wise, there was Super Rugby over the weekend, which is always a huge thing for everyone who plays Super Rugby. The Hagawadith, they beat a stuttering Stormers 30-25 in Hagawadith country. The Bulls, they played a mostly boring match against the Waratahs, but still, big win there, 28-21, which means they can still finish top of the SA Conference. They currently got the inside track on that one. The Brumbies beat the Blues 26-21. The Highlanders drew in a thrilling match with the Chiefs 31-all. The Hurricanes, too strong for the Rebels, 29-19. The Reds beat the Sunwolves 32-26. And the Crusaders, the best team in all of the Super Rugby world. They rested a few key players, and the Sharks, well, they drew 21-21 with the Sharks. The Sharks had a big chance to win this, but unfortunately the Crusaders scored right at the end. And it was, well, heartbreak all round, really. But hey, learning experience, and the Sharks definitely would have taken the points at the beginning of the game, because everybody gave them 0-0 chances. Otherwise in sport, there wasn't really a whole bunch more to get excited about. There was a T20 match between Pakistan and England, which England won. It's 24 days until the Cricket World Cup, so is that to be excited about? And then the Lions, they won the CSA T20 final yesterday. That tournament was going on, much to the surprise of many cricket fans. Not a lot heard about it, but there we go. Local T20. Of course, the Mzansi Super League is the big thing. That's seen as an international competition on these on the soil here. But yeah, there was a T20 challenge, which the Lions won. Temba Bavuma scored 100, and that was just a good time to celebrate for a team as the cricket season finally finishes here in South Africa. The Kentucky Derby winner was disqualified. Big drama there, but we do not have time to get into that because we must get into Anthea. Yes. Now what Anthea does here, Anthea does finance. She doesn't just do it, she owns it. Ooh. She is it.
Well, she tells us about lots of things. But let's begin with Anthea this morning. She missed out last week because she was feeling sick, which sounds like a rubbish excuse, but she really
was. She was on her deathbed.
Oh, no, it's been happening to everyone.
Yeah. Harden up.
I was here last week, even though I was coughing and spluttering so much on Friday.
Oh, wow. Are we really going to do this?
Leanne and Sia wanted nothing to do with me.
Often sickly.
Yes, but he's here. I come in anyway.
All right.
I didn't want to make the rest of you sick.
Oh, that's
thank
nice.
You, Anthea. Thanks. I'm with you on this one.
So, Anthea, ShopRite, big news.
Yeah. So, CEO Peter Engelbrecht took out a leveraged position on the company's share price, bought 20 million rand of exchange-traded contracts, ECFDs, using his own money. Not too shabby, eh?
Wow.
Yeah. So last year, he made 26 million rand? No, 20 million. The year before, 26 million.
Hang on, what did he make off of this?
Well, he hasn't yet. So what a CFD is, the contract for difference, you don't actually own the share, you own a derivative on the share, and it's leveraged. So normally, the bank or the broker providing you the CFD would take a 10 or 20% margin. So you have to put down 10 or 20% of your nominal position. And then as the share price moves, obviously it'll move for and against you. If it moves against you, they'll do a margin call. Remember the movie? And you'll have to pay money in. If the share price moves in your favor, then you basically your account is in a credit, or you can withdraw the money if you want, or you can just leave it there for when the share moves against you, because we know shares move up and down, right?
Right.
He's taken out a long CFD. In other words, he's gone long the share, or he's, in inverted commas, bought the share. Because you can go short CFDs as well. So you can sell or go naked short if you don't actually own the share. So he's betting that the share price will go up.
It's going up, yeah.
I mean, it's a great thing when it does, because a leveraged position, it's got, well, I mean, I don't know how to explain it other than to say it's leveraged. And so, you know, you'll make lots more money. But if it goes down, you can lose all your money.
And how does that change, or how is it interpreted when you're the CEO of that business?
Very positively. So the question the market's asking is, does he really believe in the share, or is he trying to signal to the market?
Yeah.
So, you know, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, these things do go very badly. In 2008, the owners of Vox Telecom did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They did the deal with DealStream. And in fact, it went so badly, RMB put DealStream in curatorship, and the two CEOs of Vox Telecom lost all their money.
Oof.
So it can go very badly against you.
All right. The state of the economy, we've got consumer spending not necessarily moving. It's kind of stagnant. Retail sales, bleh. Pick and pay?
Still shut the lights out.
How?
Unbelievable.
How did they do this?
So, yeah, their turnover growth, 7% up. And I think this has all got to do with, you know, how they're changing their image, how they're changing the shopping experience. Smart Shopper now has over 7 million subscribers, and they've offered 6.6 billion rand in discounts. And whenever I say this, I think of Henry. He came in one day. One day he came into work and went, oh, I shopped at Pick n Pay liquor store the other day and got 60% discount. He bought 2,000 rands worth of liquor for home, obviously.
Jeepers, how hard is he, Joel?
Yo, Henry clubs.
Just going to go quickly drop $2,000 on booze.
Making a note here to party with Henry, man.
Yeah. Do you know how it works, right? Work hard, play hard.
So 2,000 rand on liquor?
And he got a 60% discount.
Wow.
I don't know how. It's like they have these like spot prizes or whatever it is. Henry is never going to shop anywhere else.
I'm the same. I'm lucky enough to live next to one of those big Pick n Pays. Huh? And yeah, you often get stuff back. The other day, Anthea, I won a bag. I won a shopping bag. Take that, Henry.
A sustainable, environmentally sustainable one of those.
Yes, a reusable shopping bag.
Oh, we like that.
All right.
So yes, I think Pick n Pay just has got everything right. I mean, the economy is barely growing at 1% and ShopRite's, I mean, Pick n Pay is growing at 7%. So
very good.
Yeah, very good. And they've opened a net 110 new stores.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Phenomenal.
It's a really great story. The market wasn't that sure about it though. So, you know, I think the market was expecting a bit more because 2 weeks ago they'd given us a trading update. And then they guide, you know, from, say, a 10% window, I should say. And market was probably expecting it to come at the top range. When it didn't, it kind of came in.
Well, you know what? I'd be grateful in this economy for 7%. Thank
exactly.
you. Let's talk about the U.S. GDP figures.
Well, let's talk about
Is
the
Donald
U.S.
Is Donald Trump still winning? So much winning. I promised you so much winning, you're going to be tired of winning. Is that what's happening?
That's exactly what's happening. So U.S. GDP figure surprise on the upside in the first quarter. They came in at 3.2% from the fourth quarter last year's 2.2%, which is fantastic. So where we're growing at less than 1%, the U.S. is growing at 3.2%. On Friday, they announced that they added 263,000 jobs for April. We were expecting, or the market, when I say we, the market, was expecting 190,000 jobs to be created. Lots of job creation. Unemployment rate is now 3.6%, which is even lower than the previous 3.8%. So it's really nonstop. But I really want to caveat this, because over the weekend, Donald Trump turned against China and said, we're now going to put our tariffs up by 25%, whereas previously he'd said only 10%. So in fact, Asian markets were down this morning. U.S. futures were trading lower this morning. So even though he's got all this great kind of unemployment numbers lower, creating jobs, GDP growth, he keeps doing things that is negative for the market. So
what's this in particular?
Well, for the trade tariffs. So the U.S. futures were down 2%, which is an indicator.
Is this mostly with China?
Yes, this is absolutely with China. And in fact,
isn't he bringing back the jabs?
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've got to take some pain if you want to make some gains.
No, this is not the same thing. So,
for example, he's told a whole lot of the big tech companies are going to bring a lot of their manufacturing into the U.S. That's going to cost you short-term, but hopefully long-term, it creates sustainability.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think it happens immediately.
You don't get something for nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you're happy with that, then
sure
we'll take it.
Sure I am. America's economy growing is good for everybody. Just like when China's grows, it's good for everybody.
This is true.
Oh.
But he's really moving it from China to the U.S., right?
Well, that's his job as president of the United States. He's not the president of China.
This is true. There's no doubt he's done some great things. And, you know, also the tax cuts for corporates have been great. And so, yeah, it's all going his way, really.
So let's talk about that evil lizard Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, what is he doing now?
So Facebook put out their results last week. There were a couple of tech companies, Microsoft, Amazon, Facebook. Anyway, start with Facebook. An impressive set of results by anybody's imagination. Earnings per share was reported at 85 cents per share, but excluding once-off charge, it was actually $1.89 per share, which is phenomenal. He did set aside 3 billion rand for the settlement of the Cambridge Analytica data breach. So that hasn't quite gone away yet. So we're excluding
three
that.
Billion rand or $3 billion?
Did I say rand?
Yeah,
I meant
rand.
Dollars, sorry.
Dollars. Wow. Oh, wow, Ben. Sure. Well,
thanks, Ben.
Sorry. Oi. Ben, just getting it carried away because he couldn't play his theme music earlier. Now he's playing it
he
loud.
He wants all the attention.
Okay. So
it was Zuckerberg, wasn't me?
Hold on. So Zuckerberg set aside $3 billion in case this thing doesn't go his way.
This Cambridge Analytica.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Settlement, indeed.
All right.
He increased revenue by 26%, which is pretty fantastic. And then the one thing we always check is monthly active users. And normally, in the last couple of quarters, I should say, it's been on the decrease. But in the last quarter, it increased by 8%. So that's
so what's it at
good.
Now?
So, 2.4 billion people.
Okay, well, that's not a small audience. Yeah, good for him. All right.
He was very focused, saying, well, not focused on, but. Yeah, focused on this privacy issue, saying that that's the future. You know, they're going to collaborate. It's very important for them. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, exactly. Who believes him?
Yeah.
Microsoft, how did they do?
A decent set of results. They delivered 14% year-on-year revenue growth. Consensus was expecting 11%. So
that's great.
Yeah, not bad at all. Their cloud business is really where it's all happening. It increased revenue in the cloud business increased 41% year-on-year and now makes up a third of their total revenue. So
sure.
So that's definitely where everything's moving towards.
And Amazon?
And then Amazon, moderately slower revenue growth, but massive profit growth. So really managing to squeeze margins, looking after their spend. But still a decent figure. Sales grew by 17%. The revenue growth decrease was expected, or the slowing down, I should say, was expected. And I don't think it's a terrible thing. I think they'll keep going with it. Amazon announced that it's going to invest aggressively to be able to deliver one-day shipping for Prime members. So I think that will again start increasing sales and continue growth. So generally, yeah. Just another good news story. So all the tech companies in the US growing very nicely.
Thank you very much. Anthea Gardner.
Anthea, before I let you go, Kaylin just wants to remind you that you should not forget Boxer Superstores contribute largely to Pick and Pay's figures. What say you to that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he's absolutely right. And in fact, I think I'll have to think about this carefully. Boxer increased by like 24% or something ridiculous. So yes. And also, of course, a sign that people are shopping down, right?
Unless you're Henry, you're shopping up.
At the Pick and Pay.
Does Henry have like a harem of women back home that he's feeding all his booze to?
Ask no questions, hear no lies. Just accept it.
Okay, good for Henry. Wow, and that's just for one weekend, huh?
Just one weekend. Yeah, exactly.
That guy parties hard. All right,
thanks Leanne very much. Leanne already has her feelers out now.
Yeah. Sure, Leanne's already calling
now I know
Henry.
Who I'm marrying, finally.
Yeah. Hey, Henry, come do the finance. Anthea's crap.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Anthea.
Gareth, have we got time for Said by Sia, or should we take it over for next
hour? Let's do Said by Sia.
Okay, let's
do.
Do you need the music?
Benjamini.
Go ahead.
This morning I'm here to give you some good news from near and far, and this is me trying to meet at the intersection of good news and Game of Thrones, people. Trying to talk your language.
No spoilers, I hope.
No spoilers at all, because this is a story from last week. So the Battle of Winterfell was quite a big one. It was episode 3. And
it's very dark.
Good news coming from a hospital in Rhode Island in New York. It's quite sad to say that it's a hospice, actually, and one of the patients, Claire Walton, is 88 years old. And when asked by the hospice team, you know, is there anything that you'd like for us to help you with in your last days? She says jokingly, no, I just want to make it through Sunday to be able to watch the episode 3 of Game of Thrones. And so the hospital really went above and beyond by actually chatting to the HBO team and the Game of Thrones team as well. And they managed to get Claire video recordings from the cast and crew of Game of Thrones as someone who's on her deathbed. So it was nice. Quite sweet, really, to get the likes of Liam Cunningham, who stars in the series as well. Staz Nair, who plays Khaleesi's bodyguard, who actually just says, you know, because he recorded a video of himself without his whole outfit. He says, just imagine a beard, long hair and a horse. But also joked and said, I just want to say thank you for watching. Thank you for being a fan. And I wish you a very smooth transition. I wish you all the best. Unfortunately, Claire lost her life the day afterwards on Monday evening. But Claire Walton's family says that it was incredible that the hospital and the cast and crew of Game of Thrones went above and beyond and just making her last couple of days here so meaningful. So I think it's quite sweet, really, for some Game of Thrones fans out there. And for Claire to have seen the last episode just before she went really meant a lot to her, I guess. So that's your Sit by Sia for this morning.
Very nice.
Right, to the next hour, we'll have Gareth Cliff sitting here in the seat with many other news stories. Yes. Leanne's got more stories. Sia's got more stories.
Mm-hmm. And we'll also hear some other tidbits from Ben and the wonderful world of goat eating in Ghana.
Which, of course,
was loads of fun.
I'm here all day. I really am. This is CliffCentral.com.